Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to each one here this morning. Trust that we've already heard things this morning that have blessed us, challenged us. Thinking about inspiration, if we take just a little bit of time and think about what inspires us, and we take that knowledge and use that to try to inspire other people around us. Because we've all experienced things that have taken place that have inspired us. And we've also experienced things that have done just the opposite. And so I trust that if we process that we can learn from those experiences and use them to encourage each other on. This morning, thinking about Father's Day, I just like to give a message this morning that hopefully will inspire us as fathers and also the rest of us, that hopefully we can all be inspired and encouraged. Question that I would like to ask us is why, before we get into this message, why do we go through school? Or why do some people go to college maybe to learn something they want to do throughout life? And I think we would all agree that the answer is that we want to know how to do certain things before we actually do them, like before we actually need to use them. We think of, why go through the pain of learning math and just drill it into our minds that we can just spit it out as without hardly thinking? Why bother going to college or learn, I don't know, let's say a doctor? Why learn all these things beforehand before I actually get to use it to benefit me? And I think we realize in some cases that those things are very needful. If we had an emergency and we went to the ER, and the doctor that came to us and said, well, I have no schooling. I have very little experience or no experience in dealing with the issue that's before us, but I want to help. And we would probably say, well, is there another doctor here? Can I I'd like someone that has a little more, has been paying attention, has been learning things so I guess I say all of that. I'm as thinking about a father, and I just like to, as we go through this, I'd like to challenge all of us, but especially thinking of our young men, that if you wait to learn how to be a good father, if you don't even try to learn those things and you wait till you are a father, that you're going to find yourself going through hardships that you wouldn't have needed to go through. And so if we're paying attention, we will learn things from young up, and when we find ourselves in the situations, they will already be maybe somewhat ingrained, even though, you know, experience makes us stronger. But if they're in our minds and we've seen them and we've studied them and we've watched other people perform surgery, so to speak, we sort of know what I'm supposed to be doing when those situations arise. The question to fathers, am I the father that God wants me to be? Am I the father that God wants me to be? And if we're honest with ourselves, we would probably all acknowledge that there's times that I'm truly an overcomer and I'm being the dad that I believe that God wants me to be. And then there's other times as we look over the past and we realize that it's like, wow, I didn't quite accomplish what God would have wanted me to accomplish in that time. And so I guess as we look at Scripture and as we go through this message, where do I stand today? Am I standing on solid ground? Am I being that dad or not? I'd like to turn to Psalms chapter 112 and just read this chapter here. Starting in verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. I believe that this is not talking about the wealth of this world, but rather the family unit. There's a strong household here. There's relationships that are desirable. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. We see some words of verses of encouragement here, and the godly father, I think if we go down over these verses and just try to live these things out and have these things as our goal, that, you know, we will accomplish what God wants us to be. Before we go, Father, I'd just like to pause and have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just pause before you this morning with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your many promises. We thank you, Lord, that you want to teach us. You want us to, when we fail, you want us to get up and to continue forward. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you would help us to do that. I pray, Lord, as we look into your word here this morning, that we could learn things, that we could take them, and that we could hide them into our hearts, Lord, and that we could live them out. I pray this morning that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart. Lord, I just pray that you would help us all to receive a blessing today. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, tells us that life isn't necessarily easy. Through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. You know, in other words, we're going to expect some bumpy roads. And do we have the foundation that will carry us through, that will take us to the end? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it's talking to fathers here that we're not to provoke our children, to anger them. Why? Lest we discourage them. When we think about that discourage, and we think the opposite of discouragement is being hopeful, happy, confident. That's the end goal that we want as fathers. We want to bring hope and joy and confidence into their lives. And we are told here that, you know, we're not to bring discouragement to them. So, you know, how do we work that out? You know, we can maybe look at some things. You know, I know one thing that, you know, sometimes I don't know when to stop. I tease, and then all of a sudden my children or child gets angry at me, and I was like, oops, I didn't mean to do that. And, you know, that's one way maybe of bringing discouragement. But I think that it goes much deeper than that. You know, our spiritual walk, as my children watch me, do they see something in my life that it's like, well, what he is doing is really working, and I'm encouraged by that, and I wanna do that. Like, when I go to church, am I excited about coming to the house of God and worshiping with other believers? Do I bring pieces of the message home, and do they see me living that out? If our children see us as dads doing something week after week without success, you know, how does that work out? You know, maybe our, you know, in our relationships or, you know, in our home, how our home is functioning is a, you know, as the children, as our children look on, do they see success? And, you know, that will bring encouragement. Or maybe it will, if it's not, it's obviously not gonna do that. In Ezekiel chapter 22, and I'd just like to turn to that. There's two verses here. God was looking for a certain kind of person here. Someone with strength. If we go down to verse 29 here, chapter 22, verse 29, the people of the land had used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. There was problems. There was trials. There was living was hard. And God was looking for a man to stand in the gap to help him through. And he wasn't able to find it. This morning, God is looking for fathers that are willing to stand in the gap for their families, for their children. God knows that these young children that He's given to us will need that father figure, will need that strong arm to stand and guide them, to lift them, to encourage them. And just as God was looking here in Ezekiel for a man to be able to stand in the gap, so is He today in our homes. You know, we're not, no home is exempt from trials and struggles. And He wants to use the fathers to be there, to walk through those times. How do we effectively do this as fathers? Something that I read that caught my attention is, in order to effectively do this, and I think we all know that, but it's simple, is we must become the man that God calls us to be. And there's these different struggles within us that we have to overcome to be able to do that. And as we, you know, just look at ourselves, and we, there is the man we think we are, our identity, you know, how we look at ourselves. And then there's also this thing of the things that we think about ourselves. You know, we think about the man others think that we are. And then, you know, it's some of these things are maybe mind things, but the man we think others think we are. You know, the man that we think we are And then we also think about the men we think others think that we are, an image. And then it really comes down to, you know, the men we actually are. And can we go down through those steps? Are we willing to process that? Are we willing to take an honest look at that and give answers? You know, do we find ourselves getting stuck in some of these areas? And, you know, there may be, these may be steps that we have to do again and again. We have to analyze. And, you know, if we walk through that in, you know, in a godly way, process these thoughts, and we come to that, recognize who we actually are, is the, you know, as we process that, we can, you know, if we take an honest look at that and want to, you know, we don't like what we see there, now we have the ability to do something. We're giving an honest answer, and we can give ourselves over to the Lord and say, you know, this is who I am. I've eliminated all these other things. And what I see right now here, it's between me and God. And these are things that I need to work on. These are things that needs to change in my life. And as we do that, we become the man that God calls us to be. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, going down to verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Considering the things that I shared and looking at these verses, you know, how do we live this out? And the conclusion that I came to is that our hearts need to be pliable. They need to be teachable. And we, in order to walk through these verses, you know, we need to be hearing from God. And our children see us, so to speak, rising and failing and rising and striving to move forward. And the reason that moving forward is because there is a love for our God, a love to serve Him. And as we live that out, we are teaching our people, our children. We are teaching them by words, We are teaching them by our actions. We are teaching them moment by moment of how to live. And we are basically giving them a head start, preparing them for life, for the time when they grow up and they start making decisions for themselves. And we are preparing them, giving them an opportunity to succeed. We turn to Mark chapter 5, and we see an example here of a father, and I think that we can find some encouragement here. Mark chapter 5, going down to verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Here we see Jairus, a father, coming to Jesus because his daughter had need. His daughter was sick and dying. And we see him coming to Jesus, worshiping Jesus. And if you look at in Matthew and read the account there, it makes it more clear there how he came to Jesus. And he sought Jesus for his child. We see, you know, he had Jesus' attention here. And it would seem like, you know, these are dire situation. You know, there's not a lot of time. And on their way to his house, you know, Jesus gets caught up with other people and their needs and people. And, you know, we see Jairus here sticking with him. You know, he had his eyes focused on Jesus. And time, you know, he was willing to wait. And then his friends or his servants came later and said, you know, you might as well give up. You know, leave Jesus alone. Your daughter has passed away. It's, you know, you're wasting your time. And, you know, for a moment, he was probably in despair, thinking, it's like, really? But Jesus, he heard Jesus' words saying, not to fear, but to trust. And he chose rather to trust in Jesus and to believe instead of the worldly wisdom that was thrown at him from his servants, so to speak. So as we, you know, find ourselves going through life in, you know, maybe different experiences, but a similar journey, how do we find ourselves holding up? Who are we listening to? Are we yielding to the voices that are trying to discourage us, that are telling us that we're wasting our time? Or are we listening to those words of Jesus? Be not afraid, only believe. You know, standing in the gap. You know, that's when we're going to need to listen to those words. You know, we didn't expect to step in problems today, and all of a sudden we're here. Are we listening to the words of Jesus and telling us not to be afraid, but only to trust? Do we find ourselves doing that? We need to stay close to Jesus. When we do that, and our children get to see that, to experience that, you know, they can have that confidence that that is someone worthwhile listening to, worthwhile following. You know, it's those times that we leave a testimony, that we bring strength into our home when we do that. And we also, you know, when we recognize that maybe we didn't stand in the gap the way we should have, and we're willing to acknowledge that, that will that will also be stepping stones for our home. I read a testimony of a young child that had grown up in a home that was less than desirable, and her father had a meeting with Jesus, and it wasn't long, and this child said that, I want to trust in Jesus too, because this child saw the changes that took place in her father. So, you know, it's not about being the perfect father without mistakes, but it's being the father that is growing, that is changing, that is leaning on Jesus. And those are the things that are going to be persuade our family to come together. In Luke chapter 15, in this account here, the parable of the lost son, and, you know, if we look at chapter 15 and go down to verse 11 there, a man had two sons, and we know the story well here. The younger son came to his father, and he wanted something different than what his father had, and you know, as I was just reading through this account and realizing the father figure in this account here, and, you know, the son didn't just one day disappear. The son didn't just, you know, all of a sudden was gone and nobody knew where he was. But he actually came to the father and communicated to him and told him his desires and his wishes and what he was going to do. There was enough of a relationship here that the son was willing to do that. And he asked that what he thought his father owed him was given to him. And his father gave that to him. And we know that he went and lived selfishly. He indulged in sins. And he wasted his life away. Till the time came and he was found himself without food. And life, he was just struggling to stay alive. And one morning he woke up and he came to his senses and he said that, you know, why am I doing this? I'm going to go back home and see my father. And maybe he'll give me a place. He'll, you know, life is going to be better with my father than what I'm doing now. So he remembered something about his father that drew him back. And so he comes back to his father, and his father saw him coming. And, you know, right away, he was there to receive his son and pick up that relationship and to build him up and to encourage him in the right direction. You know, there's no mention made of a bitter father saying, it's like, well, you just spent half of my, you know, the stuff that I gave to you, it's all gone. It's, you know, that was a wasted life. But, You know, that was already water over the dam. His father was there and ready to receive him and to bring him back. And so we see in this account a father that had a relationship, you know, even though the son didn't live his life. He made bad choices. He chose to do something that, you know, was against what the father had taught. A father here standing in the gap. Are we that kind of father? In Psalms 127, verse 3, "Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." As a father, we recognize that. Do we show that to our children? And obviously that, you know, looking at that verse and realizing that we're all here, we all have fathers that have recognized that children are a gift and that they're the fruit of the womb. We all have that blessing because there's many, many children that are not here in this world today because the fathers didn't see them as a fruit, as a gift, and rather encouraged or even paid to eliminate them before they had the opportunity to be born. So we have a lot to be thankful for, and I'm thankful this morning that we see children as a blessing and a reward from God. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5, "A wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." You know, as I ponder that verse, and to all of us, but you know, as dads, are we increasing in learning? You know, as we go through life, and do we take life and use it to learn? Do we attain unto wise counsel? Do we seek those things out? I had read something about, you know, a little bit the order that children maybe tend to view their fathers. And I don't know that it's exactly accurate. You know, I think it depends on the relationship that dads have with their children. But, you know, when they're young, the tendency is, I think when they're young, they look at their dads as they have all the answers. They have it. You know, if I don't know something, dad will know it. And as they get a little older, you know, and they start feeling confident and conquerors, and it's like, well, I think maybe I know a little better than dad. And they want to stretch their wings and try life out. And they don't need to ask dad every time. And, you know, even take some pride and joy. And it's like, you know, I didn't get any counsel from dad. I just, you know, I did this and it worked out great. But as you, you know, when they get older in there, and I think I found that out in my own life, you know, after I had left home, and it's like, I would call dad and it's like, well, what do you think about this? And you know, we recognize as we get older, I think we recognize the value and the wisdom that our fathers had, especially if we had godly fathers. That, and you know, if we don't have godly fathers in our if that's not a privilege that we have, there are godly fathers that we can adopt, that we can reach out to and be encouraged by them. And so, you know, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. You know, as we learn, we will reach out. We will reach out to wise counsel. We will not only rely on our own abilities, our own understanding. And as we, you know, as we do that, as our children see us doing that, that will give them, I believe, confidence and courage. And I just, as I was pondering that, I had to think about my father and watching him seek counsel and you know, as he was walking through maybe sometimes rocky soil, hard, you know, things that were hard. And I think, you know, I think some of the hardest times were, at least as a child, it seemed like a difficult time was when his church was coming against him. You know, the pastors that were supposed to be taking care of him were actually telling him he was wrong, and that he couldn't know that he was born again. And you know, I was 16 years old and I was watching these things take place. And at that time, I was a rebellious young man. You know, I was living for self, and I was watching all these things take place. And watching my dad walk through that, seeking counsel and trying to understand what he's to do. And, you know, my father was watching his brothers coming and tapping me on the shoulder and saying, you know, you don't have to live with your parents. You can go somewhere else. And, you know, when we watch our parents make good choices, trusting God, I knew that, you know, at that time, that my father was worried that I would make a bad choice, that I would walk away. But I watch my dad make good choices. Not perfect choices, but good choices. And you watch that time and time again, and it's like, No, I want to be with my dad. I want to be like he is. And so, as we live that out, that's the kind of impact that we can have. That's the kind of impact that I want to have as a father. And I would dare say that each one of us as fathers wants to have that kind of impact to our families. And again, my encouragement is this morning, don't wait to prepare for being a father till you are. You know, if you wait till you're forced to stand in the gap and you've made no preparation when you've had opportunity to, you know, you'll have to learn, you know, walk through some valleys that could have been avoided. But even though, God is still merciful. So, this morning, am I ready to stand in the gap and as we consider standing in the gap, you know, do we recognize that when we say, yes, I'm ready to stand in the gap, that it means that I'm prepared for hard work. You know, we all like to, when there's a job to be done, and there's hard, dirty work ahead of us, you know, some of us like, well, let's get that piece done first. But it's, if we're, you know, if old nature comes in, it's like, you know, some of us likes to push that off, and it's like, well, let's wait till last. Or maybe somebody else will do that. You know, as a father, if we put off standing in the gap or the hard work, and we say, well, somebody else will do that, I would like to suggest this morning that if that is our thought process, that we're shirking our responsibility. We're not doing what God has called us to do. And so let's be the men that God wants us to be. And just in closing, a verse of encouragement. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and God will give us, he will show us, he will give us direction. May God bless.